session number 17394, reel 5.
Admiral Geritz, reel 5.
We tried to rescue the crew, but some of them drowned. They went over the side at the after end of the ship, and we couldn't rescue them. But one evening we were meeting as usual to discuss the work for the night, as my beach master colleagues, and my driver, the first salvo of the evening, landed not far away, and my driver brought me my steel helmet and said, I think it's time to put this on. So I put my helmet on, and the next salvo landed quite close, in the immediate vicinity, and one naturally fell to the ground, and I felt that I'd, as if I'd been hit by a cricket ball on my hand, and got up rather shakily to my feet, wondering if I felt so shaky, and I could see there was a hole in my hand. And so they helped me along to the dressing station, which was in a pillbox. And I couldn't understand why the wound in my hand should make me feel so peculiar. And when we got to the pillbox and went inside, you can imagine the scene of it, rather like the dungeon with a limited light. The doctor was a friend of mine who'd been in the beach group, and I'd trained with him, so I knew him quite well. And there was one of the company commanders was also there, an officer of the regiment. And I said I felt very peculiar, and they said, well, put your head between your knees. And I did, and then they saw there was a hole in my helmet and there was a hole in the back of my head. And I said, they then started asking me what my religion was and what did you say, next of kin. Then I was taken from there. It put a temporary dressing on my head. And I was taken in an ambulance driven by this company commander to the field dressing station at Hermanville. It says beach dressing station to the field dressing station. And from Hermanville, I was left on a stretcher in a tent for a while. I went to the general hospital, the base general hospital at Bayeux, I believe. I was coming in and out of consciousness. But if you've been wounded in the head, you don't get morphine, as far as I know. And then I can remember waking up in this tented hospital and seeing the nurses in their khaki battle dress. And then we were shipped to Aramanche, when we were loaded into the deck of an LST. Rows and rows of stretchers, like that scene, I don't know if you remember the scene in Gone with the Wind, when they have a whole courtyard full of wounded, or something like that, and laid out on stretchers. And we travelled in the LST from Aramanche to Portsmouth, where we were offloaded. The medical officer went round, Lieutenant Colonel, asking people how they felt, or seeing how they felt, and you either went to Portsmouth or Basingstoke. And I said I felt awful, which I did, because I'd rather go to Portsmouth than Basingstoke. And so I was sent to the Queen Alexandra's Hospital, which is at the foot of Ports Downhill. And I think this is quite a good point at which to wind up our present discussion, because I was fortunate in that one of the great neurosurgeons of the country was had come to join this casualty clearing station at Queen Alexandra's Hospital. He was from St. Bartholomew's, and his name was John O'Connell, and he was supported by a Dr. Hale. Anyway, they did what could be done for my head for the time being and my hand. We were looked after by nurses from University College Hospital. And one day, a chaplain came round, a local vicar, and it turned out to be the vicar of Portsdown. Now, he had been of assistance to me when I was digging my holes in the side of the hill 4 years before. And of course, he couldn't recognise me, all covered up in bandages, but I called him over, and that completed the four-year cycle, that there I was back. I'd seen him originally 4 years before as a sub-lieutenant, and here I was lying in a hospital bed at the bottom of his hill, still within his parish, as a lieutenant commander, acting. And that's how that particular stage of my life came to an end.
How long did it take you to recover from your wounds?
I had my head repaired in the following spring at Sherborne, and meantime I went to work again in the boys' training establishment in September, so July, August, 2.5 months before I could go back to any kind of duty, and then I had another spell in hospital in March following year, when they rebuilt the back of my head. But there was something else that I wanted to say, which I didn't explain about the beach parties. The organisation was that there was a principal beachmaster to each commando, two beachmasters, and four assistant beachmasters, making two separate units, so that you could run two bits of a beach or two beaches adjacent if you wished. And of course that is what we did, in fact. And I didn't mention that 4th S had two commanders, Fox and Roger, and Roger commander came in at about noon and was ready to take over a complete sector on its own that evening. And I also didn't mention that not only did the commanding officer of our beach group get killed in the first wave, but his second in command took over. And that evening, well, when, as I said, Roger commander came in, a new beach group arrived with them, and their commanding officer took over. I think his name was Cass. And he was wounded that evening, and his second in command took over, and he was wounded in the morning, about 5 o'clock in the morning. And so the second in command of our beach group was back in command again. It was it shows that there was quite a level of casualties, although I was lucky in my parties. I had several wounded, including one officer who'd been wounded for the second time. He's still a chum of mine to this day. I had an officer killed by a stone when there was an explosion, and a stone, as far as I know, penetrated his brain.